Chavos Halvavos Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Sunday afternoon, ladies here in Chavos Halvavos Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Ches Tammuz Tov Shinayan Dalad, where we're learning Chavos Halvavos Sunday afternoon, Ches Tammuz, we're learning Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, and we're up to Cheshbon number 22. Okay, and again, these are 30 things to think about. Now, if you don't think, they constitute basically a summary of the whole Sefer. Plus, it includes more than the Sefer has. For instance, number 22 that we're about to learn out of 30. I don't believe I am aware that it's in the Sefer anywhere, what he's about to say. Most of what he says is in the Sefer. Number 22 happens not to be, unless, of course, I'm wrong. But I don't remember it being in the Sefer. And if you don't think about these things, then there's really no point in learning it. Because we're not learning a text. Right? He wants you to think about these things. And each thing in itself would be life transforming. Koshkein, if we're able to think about, let's say, one a week, and 22, every 30 weeks, go over all of them, that would be wonderful. But, okay, that's just a lot of other things to think about. That's the problem. And we don't have time because of all the time-saving devices we have. So we're busier than ever. Like, I don't think the office has ever had more paper since they made the paperless office. Because you have faxes and emails and everything. Hashnayim Ve'esrim, number 22. Very, very interesting 22. It's really a departure from everything else he's been talking about. Number 22 is Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. To work on Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, your relationship with other people. That's first very interesting. I don't know if in the whole Sefer he really talks about that. He doesn't emphasize it, certainly. Your Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, if you have a keenly developed sense of Hashem's role in our lives, so Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, most of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro is because we're jealous and we want to come out on top and we think someone else is taking away from me if they do something, right? So that's all, if I have emunah and I have bitachon and I have the right idea of Hashem, then like, and this is what he's going to say really, not to ever feel that someone else is encroaching on my territory, which is the basis for most of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. I say most because some of it is just kavod, right? If I knock someone else down, right, there's two ways to pick yourself up. You can pick yourself up and you can knock someone else down, so you're a memela picked up. So that's not a good way. So he's going to talk about that in number 22, Cheshbon number 22. I'll say at the outset, he is very not altruistic. He's like Ayn Rand. He says it's a practical thing to do. Very interesting. He says the reason you should develop good relationships with people is because it's going to raise everybody's ship. It's going to be a rising tide and everybody will help everyone else and everyone else will be able to have a more pleasant life, a more successful life, and will be able to find success and fulfillment in everything they do. But if it's every man for himself or every woman for herself, then a person's powers are limited and you always have problems and who says you can solve them? But if you're in a group, he's not advocating communism. He's not talking about sharing your money. He's talking about attitudes and how you share with others ideas and you give aitzes and you sympathize with others and empathize with others and just bring them into your life and care about them. So if everybody does that, everybody's helped. Or else you're an island yourself. No man is an island, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not good. See, he talks about it almost, not almost, we'll see in a second, we're going to learn the text. He talks about it from a pragmatic level, almost from a selfish level, interestingly enough. Almost, like, because, you know, you could say you have to be altruistic, like Hashem. You have to be a no-sane, like Mirtam Eliyahu, you can't be a lo-keyach. He really puts it down as developing your Ben Adam L'Chaveiro because that helps everybody, including yourself. So let's see. Cheshbono im nafsho al hasarvo im b'nei adam, his interrelationships with people, b'takonas ha'olam, he interacts with people. When you're going about your business, you interact with people. He talks about, right, in his days, this is in the 10, 1100s. So, mecharisho, kasira, agricultural, umekach umemkar, business, vohenyonim, shenezorim mehem ktsas b'nei adam b'ktsasam al yishuv ha'olam. Right, people help each other. They help each other. No, nobody can do anything yourself. You need help. Right? You need help in doing whatever you're doing. This is what you have to ask yourself. Do I have a different set of standards for what I want for myself, for what I like happening to me? I'm not talking about, right? You have a different set of standards. Let's say your neighbor builds extends their mirpeset, right? So that like gets everybody riled up. But would you, you know, you have to be honest, would you like to extend your mirpeset, except you don't have the money, or you don't have the, you're afraid because there's no rishayon, or, but you really like that for yourself. So you didn't do it, so he does it, so you know, you're upset. But maybe you have to check yourself. Sometimes I tell people complain about their neighbors, about the garbage or noise or all the various things that we, our neighbors do to us. We of course don't do anything to them, chas v'shalom, but they do to us. So people ask me, you know, in this Hilchos Niskei Shechenim in Shulchan Aruch, that there's halachas, what neighbors are allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do, limiting their behavior. Maybe you can't make noise after, I don't know, 11 p.m. or maybe 10 p.m. You know, you can't do certain things in Hilchos Niskei Shechenim. But not everything is governed by Hilchos Niskei Shechenim. So then people feel powerless and they want to know. So I say, you could tell your friend he's violating the Avta L'Reacha Kamocha, because he wouldn't want you to do what he's doing to you, so he's violating a mitzvah saseh. That's all. Tell him that. Maybe he doesn't realize that. He's certainly not doing Avta L'Reacha Kamocha. Even if you can't come after him with a technical claim, but certainly you could tell him, remind him that to think about if he's doing Avta L'Reacha Kamocha. So that's what the Chavadus here is talking about. She'ye'ehav lohem, he should want for them. We'll be happy if he doesn't resent it. He doesn't resent it. Masheyeh av lenafsho mehem, what he would want. The yisna lohem, and he doesn't want for them what he doesn't want for himself. Masheyeh yisna lenafsho mehem. The yimchol aleihem, right? If you have to ask yourself, do I care about what's happening to them? Or am I, do I think it's an avla, and I, you know, I can't, I want to help him to remove it, as if it was happening to me. And l'idach gisa, something good is happening to him. I'm happy, and I am joyful, and I take joy in sharing his simcha. V'yimchol aleihem, bimavater, v'yitchem mehem kefi yecholto mashi yazikem, and you'll be careful not to injure them in any way, not to do something that is injurious to them. Okay, so that's very, you know, pretty straightforward, very straightforward. And now he gives, though, the marshal. And then in the marshal you see what I said, that it's a little, his mahalach is, it's like a pragmatic one. Because all of us chose to paint it in pragmatic terms, not to make it into a religious obligation, like taking a luluv, but to make it as a practical thing to do. I'm not asking a question, so I don't have to give an answer. That is how he deals with it. Let's look at the marshal he gives. If you remember, I've said many times in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh that the Chovetz Chabad brings like a proof to many of his principles from everyday life. He says, look how people act in such and such a situation. Certainly, in this situation that we're talking about, certainly you should follow that pattern and act a certain way. And we said, sometimes it almost drags down. Sometimes it's even a downer in the Sefer, because you're looking to be inspired and to be holy and to be godlike. And he says, listen, this is how a person would treat his, you know, whatever, his neighbor, his friend, his brother, his father. And we said that the Chavis HaVavis' style is to make things very real and to bring them very down to earth and to make it, you know, very, very down to earth, the kitsa. So maybe that's what he's doing now. Instead of talking about the idealism of being a no-same, he just says it's a very practical thing to do, and therefore everybody should do it. People went to faraway land, not in a straightforward manner. They had to make a lot of twists and turns, and they have to make a lot of stops on the way. A lot of steps along the way. A lot of animals. To unos masos gedolim, loaded up with packages, camels, you know, pile high, donkeys. Vanoshim ben same ma'at. There's not that many people. And each of them have many. Maybe they're going to the market place, right, a few hundred kilometers away. And every time you stop, you got to take off everything, and then in the morning you got to reload everything. Shutzorach liton belifrok oson pa'amim. Many times you have to take off, unload the car, load up the car. V'myazru ishus re'achiv. So if everyone helps everyone else, lends a hand, there's 2-3 people unloading and then loading, liton to load, belifrok and to unload, v'yachetzim b'shalom akol. And their goal is that everybody. See, that has to be your goal. Your goal is that everybody should gain. You're going to help everybody. Everybody's going to have help. Then it's going to work. It's going to click. It's going to be smooth. But if really, you know, everybody's out for himself, and they can't get together. So we say, okay, I'm going to take off my packages. So each Yilerupa, most of them are going to collapse before they become, get off all the packages. They'll be too tired, too hungry, too. If you, to help each other out, right? This is, I don't know if you need any proof to this, but when everybody chips in and everybody does things together, you know, we have to, okay, guys, we got to get all the chairs out of the base medrash. So if everybody grabs 2-3 chairs, in no time it's gone. And if the same two people, the same two people start taking out the chairs and everyone else sort of looks around, then it takes 25 minutes and they're tired and they leave behind some chairs because they have no more strength to drag it all out, and the job doesn't even get done. And that's what happens. That's what he's saying. Umen aponam ha'ela achi, and that is why, look around, he's saying, unfortunately, in my experience, this is true. When you generally ask people, how you doing? If they're honest, most people are not happy. Most people find life very rough. We think it gets, you know, who would have thought, right, when people had to spend one whole day doing laundry down by the river, soaking, they got washing machines and dryers, everybody thought, you know, Mashiach has come, Nirvana, Tliklach, I'll never complain again. I now have a fax machine. I'm never going to complain again about the mail. I'm never going to complain. I got, and then we fall back into the pattern of dissatisfaction. Why is it? Why are people dissatisfied? He says because too many people live lives of every man for himself. And life is very burdensome. And as Hashem created a world in which really people are interdependent. And therefore you need someone. And the more closed you are to others, the more you're in your own world, the more frustrated you'll be, the more difficult you will find life. That's what the Chavis HaVavis says. The more independent you find yourself, The more you construct your own world and shut out others, the more you will be frustrated with life and you will find life very burdensome. This, of course, is in general. There's always exceptions. This is in general, and he says that's why most people are unhappy. That's why people are in general unhappy. That's why most people find life very burdensome, very difficult. And he says, you know why? He's going to say two reasons. A, they're not open to others, and if everybody would just look out for the other guy and help the other guy, and everybody would be doing that, everything would be so much easier. Chick-chack, things would happen, things would get done. And he says, and this is probably a natural outcome also of the inward attitude, and that is people want more. People are never happy. They're not so meach b'chelkom. So they're not so meach b'chelkom, and things don't work as well as they would want it to work because they're acting on their own, in their own world. So they don't even end up getting chelkom. They're not so meach b'chelkom, and they don't even get chelkom. They just get frustrated because they don't reach chelkom because they want more than chelkom, so they overreach. They can't even reach themselves what they're supposed to have. And they overreach, so they don't even have... It's very frustrating. So you end up not having what you're supposed to have. Certainly not having what you're not supposed to have. And it's just a very frustrating experience, and you find life very burdensome, and you can't make ends meet, and you can't seem to catch your breath, and everything is a burden, and everything is like crashing on around you. And when people on in a small community or on a yeshuv, you see mamish people live for each other. Everybody's helping everybody else. Everybody. So you have to be careful because we want our privacy. I don't know how the Chavis Halavis looks at a. He certainly is not advocating a communist system. He doesn't talk about sharing your money with others. That's a communist system already. He talks pretty socialistic, but he's not talking about possessions or money. That the Torah is very capitalistic. Not very. It's not very because you have halachas that limit the damage that capitalism can do. What Karl Marx tried to do to take away the evils of capitalism, the Torah did just by saying you're not allowed to take interest. So that sort of captures the power of money, right? Capital versus labor. So instead of making labor the dictator, the Torah just said you can't charge interest. Once you can't charge interest, money is not worth that much. It really, labor is worth more than money once you can't charge interest. Think about that. Unless you invest, but then you're taking a risk. So that's it makes sense that you should earn a profit if you're taking a risk. When you lend money, supposedly you're not taking a risk because you get paid back no matter what. So, and there's an iser ona'ah, you're not allowed to overcharge or underpay. So the Torah, by a few well-placed isurim, which are sort of above choshen mishpat. Choshen mishpat is how money works, how the mekach u'memkar works, how the marketplace works. And the Torah, you're not allowed to steal, and you're not allowed to cheat, and you're not allowed to overcharge, and you're not allowed to underpay, and you can't charge interest. So you scatter around a few halachas, mitzvahs, and assuming Bnei Yisrael are going to keep the mitzvahs, so you've solved the bad part of, and you have a mitzvah tzedakah. So instead of paying $1 zillion in taxes, and 3/4 of it go to the bureaucrats who give out money to poor people in the most degrading way possible, we say, give tzedakah. Everybody should give tzedakah. And every town should have a kupah shel tzedakah, and every town should have food for that day for the very poor. Make sure everybody has two meals. Maybe nowadays they would give you three meals, I don't know. And the Torah is really, it's not, The Torah really, from an economic system viewpoint, the Torah is also perfect. Not only is the Torah perfect in terms of being a good person, but it's also the perfect economic system, because capitalism and profit is a great motivator to be creative, to invent, and private property. The Torah is a very big believer in private property. So there's no communism in the Torah. There's a mitzvah tzedakah. That's wonderful. You know, it's voluntary. There's even a din you can't force someone to give tzedakah. That's like a beautiful halacha, because, and you know, Bnei Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, look at them 3,000 years later, Bnei Yisrael give more tzedakah than the money that trickles down from the high taxes that goes to bureaucrats that just work. And they give out money, like they degrade you and give out money. Anyway, so he's not, I don't know how I got into that. Because the lovers are not advocating, because he's not talking about money, he's talking about attitude. He's talking about, like, one for all and all for one. Like imagine life on a yeshuv is like that. Everybody knows when someone needs, without prying, you know, you always have to watch that gvul of basic privacy. But people know what people need, and people are there for others, and everybody's there for everyone else, and that makes life easier for everybody. As the Chavis HaLovah says, but so he says about, he's in the middle of his mashal. V'myazu rishus re'eyu litam v'lefrik of everybody. Yavi yachafetim shalom akol lakam e'alayim v'shu shavim ba'edim v'shu b'nayim yagiyu la'tov sh'minyonim. V'mycholek libam, but if everybody, well, I'm going to, why should I help him unload his donkey? I'm going to unload my donkey. V'lo yaskimu le'etzo achaz v'yishtadlo kolechem hem lazer la'atzmo b'levad yile rubam. They'll just get tuckered out. U'min haponim eilu ochi kovid ha'olam al yoshvam. This is why people find life burdensome and difficult. V'nichpulo aleyem avodosu v'tircho. We're not just talking about it. We're even talking about being able to talk to someone. You know, you lighten the burden on your heart because you have a friend to talk to. That's a very, very chash of a thing. It says a mishlei, chazal say, right? Daiga b'lei vish, you talk to someone. That's also a sharing, and a person has to be open for you. If people don't want to be bothered, someone comes to you and they want to talk to you, and they're not an especially good friend of yours. Not an especially good friend. You don't really enjoy talking to them. You see them coming to you, you go, oh no, right? So there's a mitzvah, you should give them your time. That's also a mitzvah. It's a bigger mitzvah than stucker many times. Instead of going into your pocket and giving them 10 shekel or 50 shekel or 100 shekel, you give them 15 minutes of your time, a gift to them. You're giving to them. And you're doing more for them than with 100 shekel. Even if you don't come up, people are scared. First of all, people, and second of all, people are scared that they won't have what to say. So take it from a rabbi that people want to. 90% of the time you don't have to say nothing. You just have to listen and say, okay, you know what to do, right? And they go, yeah, I guess I do. You go, okay, so go do that. Because I don't know what they should do. That's the big fear of this rabbi, at least. That people come and they read stories about Rav Chaim Kanievsky says you have a sefer on your third shelf that's turned upside down. Put that right side up. I had a guy come to my house Friday. Chassidish guy, never saw him before. From my neighborhood in Yerushalayim. Looked around. He says he wants to borrow an art scroll, Mishnayos Shviyos. Okay, I don't like lending out my sfarim because that's the last I see of them. But I'm not a good person. So I say, okay, write it down, fill out like a library card. Mm-hmm. Tell me your name, your address. I want to know by when you're going to bring it back, and you can borrow it. Okay? He did it all. He brought it back last night. We weren't home yet from Ramat Beit Shemesh. I come home, there's like the safest back with a note. He says, I went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and I asked him for an eitzah for a shidduch. I need a shidduch. He told me to learn Mishnayos Shviyos. So I spent the whole Shabbos, Mishnayos Shviyos is hard, I know, it's an art school, like, Baruch Hashem, you know. So he said, I spent the whole Shabbos, and I learned Mishnayos Shviyos, and I can't thank you enough. And you know, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he returned it, he borrowed it Friday afternoon, he gave it back once the Shabbos already. I guess I really scared the guy. I guess I scared the guy out of his wits, Nebuch. I feel bad now. But, I said, you can borrow it, just, you know, fill out a library card. So what's my point? Oh yeah, so now if a guy came to me and he's a shidduch, I wouldn't tell him to learn Mishnah Yeshvius, I have to admit. You know, so people want that. People want to hear that the Sefer turned upside down and they should this and that, you know. So I feel very inadequate. So, but yet my point here is, he says, the Chavos HaLevavos is not just talking about his mosho lending a physical helping hand. Just you lend an ear. I really made in the shul once. It didn't go anywhere. You remember? A listening ear gemach. Miyached one or two ladies, I don't remember. We even made a magnet. Didn't go anywhere because people, it wasn't a good idea, I guess, unless I will try again one day. Maybe people didn't trust the people that were designated and they didn't want to share with them things that are bothering them. So, I assume that's why it didn't go anywhere. It was like, why should I call this person up? And so they had a few phone calls, but nothing, not what we thought would be helpful. And probably that's why. It was like, you try things, and you don't succeed, so you see it's wrong. Unless maybe its time hasn't come yet. Maybe we're ahead of our time. Because they do have these, they do have these helplines in New York City. They have these helplines, but then the person's anonymous. So you don't really know who you're talking to, so you're not afraid to share things. What's bothering you because the person doesn't know you and you don't know the person. Shaking in the shul, right, the person's going to know who you are and you know who they are, and then you're going to meet them at a kiddush and you're thinking that they're thinking, oh my, I always pity a doctor. I always you meet a doctor by a kiddush, you know, the doctor, you know. Anyway, the Chavos HaLevavos is not just talking about physical work. You have to be there for someone else. And they should, as he says, it's really hard. And they should. So the reason people find life burdensome, right? Drum roll. The Chavos HaLevavos. Why do people find life burdensome? They should rotzu l'shachet kol echad mehem b'chelko bo, because everybody thinks they'll be better off if they don't give of their time to others, and they don't give of their abilities to others. And they just, you know, circle the wagons and take care of themselves. Ubiyosef mechuko mimenu. And they want to overreach. He sort of throws this in. Not sure exactly how it fits. And they want more than what's coming to them, than what Hashem has in mind for them. So I guess he's just giving you the whole picture. Why are people dissatisfied? A, because they're not because they're dissatisfied with what they have. And B, they're self-centered, and you can't make it. He's really saying a big yesod in life, a big yesod in the world. Although this is saying, people are interdependent. Hashem made, he doesn't say that sentence, but I'm saying it. He for sure means that. Obviously, Hashem made the world that way. That people need other people. And the more you're withdrawn, the more you will find life difficult. So they don't even get what they are supposed to get. So they're not happy. Are you happy? No. So, first of all, because you want more than you're supposed to have, you're not, which is the same as saying you're not sameach b'chelko. And second of all, you can't handle life yourself. No one can. I don't know, no one, mamish, but in general, people can't. So you give to others, others give to you, and everybody's working together, and everybody cares about everyone else, and you have someone to listen to you, and you have someone to babysit when you run to the supermarket, and you have someone to pick you up a few things when they go, and you have someone to watch kids, or to take you to the doctor if you have no way of getting there, and everybody's doing that for everybody else. So, you know, everybody fills in everyone else's gaps. And that's the way to live, and that's how Hashem made the world, that's a high-functioning society. Otherwise, everybody just finds it very burdensome, and everybody's unhappy, and everybody is just frustrated, maybe even resentful. This is why people... What a description. He says that's why people are unhappy with their lives and everyone's complaining. Things are so difficult. First of all, they want more than they need. And they can't even get what they need or what they're supposed to have from Hashem. I mean, some people are supposed to have more than they need, and that's okay if that's what Hashem has in store for you. They have to work, I don't know, I'll just pick twice as hard, and he doesn't give a number, I'll say twice as hard as they would have to work if everybody would be helping everyone else. Right, I have a fax machine and you have a car. It's like a life barter system. I'm making this up, but maybe it's, you know, you come to me when you need a ride, and I come to you when you need a fax sent because you don't have a fax machine, or you email, or printer. Right, and this neighbor goes to that neighbor to borrow reading material, and this neighbor goes to that neighbor because she needs to listen in on my child. I'm running out for a second, you know. So that lightens life. Life is not so burdensome when everybody's there for everyone else. So ask yourself if you are open to other people or you're closed. It works two ways closed. You don't want to accept help and you don't want to give help. They're both no good. Again, he makes it almost selfish. He says, you're helping someone else will bounce back and help you. And everybody will be happy. They'll be victorious over their life burdens. And they'll be successful because they have help. Yeah, everybody is doing it together. Think of this marshal. Everybody is unloading the animals together, right? Everybody's taking the chairs out of the base medrash. How long does it take already? Bedikas chametz night, here at night. We say this every year, and Baruch Hashem, people respond. And, you know, it's a big building, right? From the tippity top to the bottom. And we want people to do it after Meirah. They shouldn't come home and be both. If everybody does it, it takes 15 minutes. The whole geshef, the whole building, every inch of space. They found chametz on the second shelf of that bookcase behind the svarim. Because two people were assigned to this bookcase only. We did the whole building. I mean, I'm not here that night, but we do the whole building in 15 minutes. Ari Stern has his sheet. Every inch of the building is covered, and he gives out the jobs by after Meyer. You do this, you do this, you do this. Whole building. The whole building, 15 minutes, every inch of space. That's what he's talking about. And unfortunately, not only don't people help each other, which makes life more burdensome, but they try sometimes to trip up the other guy, thinking things will be better for them if they trip the other person up. So everybody's like, imagine everybody's trying to trip up the other guy. So no one will be successful. So the point of this cheshbon is, he really doesn't place it in a frum perspective. I mean, he does. He throws in Vatalecha Kamocha on the third or fourth line of the cheshbon. He does throw that in. And he paints it as a societal thing. This way life will be bearable for everyone. And everyone will be more successful and will be happier and will be able to cope with life. It's difficult. Everybody will be able to cope that much better if everybody is there for everyone else. You give and you get. Have good friends. Friendships. You know, meaning not agenda ridden. Not. You know, you want good for him. Maybe in the back of your mind you're thinking, because then it'll be good for you. but at least in the initial step, you want things to be good for that person. You want to help him. And he says, you know, he keeps you l'chal ezer al toroscha. It will help you in your spiritual growth. That's al toroscha. Mal olamcha and for olam hazeh. It will be helpful in your avodas Hashem. Because if you're not, the less you're burdened with life, the more free you'll be to do mitzvahs, to do chesed, to be spiritual. Bihiyos libcha sholem imohem, and you will be at peace. Umitzvon chazach lohem. V'shiyu chaviv malecha kenafshecha. Again, I don't know. Your motive might be ultimately selfish. I don't know, but you you're starting off with that you care about someone else, and you even inquire what he needs. You want to help him. You want to help others as much as you want to help yourself. K'shetimtzu yotcha mishu roi l'zemehem. And now he says, with one exception. Very cute, the Chagall Olas. He says, one exception. Don't go blabbing your secrets to everybody. Don't tell anybody your secrets. Your secrets you give to 1 out of 1,000 people. You tell something that you don't want everyone to know. It's none of their business. Don't tell people when you have private inyanim. But al tavkid sodcha, as much as he's saying, be open to everybody and help them and this, don't, something that you want to keep a sod, don't share that. Bad idea. You have to tell it to your best friend. Etzel segula, sa segula mehem belavad. Only to your really dearest, closest friend that you really trust, and you know, you have a best friend. So give, don't treat everybody like your best friend when it comes to sharing your secrets with them. That's what he says. Everybody's your best friend when it comes to helping them and asking for their help. And everybody works together. But if you have something that you do want to keep private, you don't want it to become a public, you don't want to be on public display, so don't think that I'm telling you, no, you got to share this with everybody. So, you know, a person has an illness. So, you know, the Gemara really says share it with everybody, because they'll daven for you. You know, we want to be private, so, okay. He's not giving you rules. He's just saying, don't take what I'm saying. There's one exception to everything I said. As much as I talked about one for all and all for one, and share alike, and that'll lighten everyone's burden and will make life easier and more bearable for everybody. But if you have a sod, you decided this is a sod. Don't make the mistake of telling it to people. Because you think I want you to. No. Shlomo HaMelech says he's about to quote a pasuk of Mishlei. That goes to 1 out of 1,000 people. That can keep your secret and your best friend. You do want to share it because you can get sick. It's not healthy to keep it mamish in. You'll find someone to tell it to. But only a segula means like 1 out of 1,000. Kamo Shamar Ben Sira. Ben Sira's quoted many times, sometimes in the Gemara he's quoted, Rabbi Miu Dorshe Shlomcha. Yeah, I should have a lot of friends. Kale Sotcha Le'elef Me'elef. Tell your secrets to 1 out of 1,000. V'amra Chacham in Mishlei, Shemen Uktoris Yisamach Lev U'mesek Re'eyu Me'atzas Nefesh. Shemen and Ktoris are things that make a person feel happy, rich, expansive. Right? It's not, it's something, it's like something beyond pure sustenance, it's something geschmack. And one of those is, and another geschmack thing is mesek re'eyu me'atzas nefesh. The etzah your friend gives you that they share with him, with your heart and soul. So apparently he's trying to say that that's few and far between. That's already re'ehu. That's already something that you shouldn't, that you're sharing with your good friend. That's what he's coming to say. Me'atzas nafsho. He's giving you like his soul. He's giving you an etzah. So, you know, you only share your secret to someone that mamash cares about you very, very deeply. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions? Okay.
So how you appear from the side is a secret. You know, a person, he's not talking about that. He's just saying, if you have something that's a secret, don't take what I said as advising you to share it with the whole world. That'd be a secret more than like another 6 minutes. Right? If you have a secret, don't take what I said literally, then you talk to pick one or two people to share it with. What you should decide is a secret or not, he's not giving advice about that. Okay. Shkoyach. Thank you.